tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord for the glory of the Father. Once again, O Lord, thank you for the blessings that you have given us, that you are about to give us today, and the ones that you have in store for each one. In Jesus' name, O Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. There's our African missionary just came in the door, I see. Last month, his little testimony that he gave here was number one on the website. Thank you, brother. It even went back to Africa. Someone in Africa listened to it also. This class has been an absolute blessing to me. I hope I've been as much a blessing to you as you've been to me. My wife made up some little cards and things, and if you don't have one of those that's not on the seat where you are, please get one there from her. She wanted everyone to have those. We're in the Bible in 8 ages. Next week we're going to have a movie on the icons of evolution. I have to say that 2 or 3 times because some of you come in a little bit late. Anyway, so remember that next week. Get your children to come, or if you've got grandchildren, whatever, they want to see this movie, please bring them. It's good to see a good crowd like this here in December, especially through all the bad weather we've had in the last couple of days. I came to church last night, and Friday it blew 50 to 70 miles an hour all day for almost 24 hours where I lived. When I came to church last night, when I got out of the building over there, it was water all over. I went out to my house, it looked like a tornado had been through there. If it blew 50 to 70, it blew 100 miles an hour then. I mean, everything was crashed. But that's just weather. You know, when you look in God's Word, you'll find out back in the early days, there were conflicts in God's churches even back then. And we see from the ancient times in the book of Daniel and Ezekiel, we see so many storms, so many armies that have fought wars through history. Armies. What are behind those armies on earth? What? Spirits. Spiritual forces. Well, we've talked about spirits in our study. We talked about the... On page 3, it's on page 4 in your... Is that yours? Mine is an old one, and Sister Tony retyped all of this. If you don't have one of these, the little course on the Bible in 8 ages, raise your hand. Marilyn, if you can, does anyone need one of these syllabuses? You need one? All right. David, could you get some of those and if you'll raise your hand, he'll get some of those to you right now. I believe it's on page 4, is where you are, where we have the introduction, what is time, and then there are 3 monuments to age 1, God, angels, and creation. Remember that? All right. If you look at this chart here, and also you have the circular chart like this that I've handed out to you. Remember this one? It's in the book. And we've got some of those. You've got that one, Brother Mel. Could you hold that up for us so everybody can see that? If you need one of these, we'll try to get one of them to you also. But it's also in the book, in the textbook. I don't see anything right offhand. It runs along with this chart here. I've been teaching this chart here for almost 40 years. Brother Allman remembered me teaching it 30-something years ago. And Brother Farrar at the seminary down in Bellflower, California, taught it to me. I got one of these charts because it was such a tool to teach with. And I've got some of these also. If you don't have one, see me after the class and I'll get one of these to you also so you can have it. If you look at the chart and study the verses that go with everything, you'll understand it. In your Bible in 8 ages, you'll see that also. How many of you are reading your Bible in 8 ages book? Anybody right now? You need to. How many of you have read it more than once? All right. How many of you have read it more than twice? I know that a lot of them, Brother Bill, I don't know where Brother Bill is. He's AWOL or something. Anybody know about Brother Bill? And Bill and Joanne? He read it. I think he's working on his 3rd or 4th time with that book. When you read it, you'll learn something every time you go into it. Now let's go back on page number, is it page number 4? Is that where we are? Where it says the pre-Adamic age? All right. Now we studied this a little bit before. What does pre-Adamic mean?
Before Adam.
Before Adam. All right. What else does it mean? What? Well, pre-Adamic is eternity past. All right. A lot of things happen in eternity past. We have the creation. We have God in God's mind. We have the plans. He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life before He ever created anything in eternity past.
Amen.
A long time ago, but that's when He did it. He planned every aspect in time and space that would take place. God didn't just jump in and start working on what we call a crisis management situation. All right? I mean, we do that, don't we? You never know what's going to happen. I mean, we can take our cars in for preventative maintenance, but they'll still put us on the side of the road every now and then. God didn't have to worry with stuff like that. He had all this planned out before it ever happened. Eternity past. What does pre-Adamic mean also, but besides before Adam? What does it also mean? I tried to drive this in last week. Pre-Adamic. Before mankind. Brother, you've got a good mind. You know that? I don't care what you say. He's got it down. Before mankind. Before mankind was ever created. Now, what was created before mankind?
Angels
and spirits. And the cosmos, the world. All right? And what else was created before anything was put out there? Remember I brought this out? Space. Just think about it. Before God could ever put anything out here, He had to create the space, too, to put it in. Just think about it. What was out there in eternity past when there was only God?
Well, we might say nothing, but then what's nothing?
We don't know. God's Word tells us some things in the past. What are you going to be studying for the next 10,000 years when you're with the Lord, or 100,000 or million years? All the things between the lines that we study today. A lot of you ask questions. Where was that? Harold is not here today, and his wife asked me a question the other day. I was going to bring it out this morning. There are some things in the Bible that we don't know. Did you know that? Brother Bill asked me something here a while back, and I said, I don't know. And he looked at me just absolutely astounded. He says, I thought you knew everything. I said, there's a lot of things I don't know. And in the Word of God, there are some things we don't know. There are some things that we just absolutely hasn't been revealed to us. All right, we have the creation of the heavens, plural. Heavens, Hashemayim. Remember that, brother? Oh, you didn't have any Hebrew, though, did you? Hashemayim. Ha is the, and Maya is waters, and Im is plural, the uplifted waters. All right? That's what the name heavens means. And there's plural. How many heavens are there?
Three.
All right. Three heavens. Now, God. Think about God for a while. The name God in the Old Testament. It says, Barashit Bara Elohim et Hashemayim ve'et ha'aretz. It says, in beginnings, and then it says, Elohim. Elohim. Now, on page 3, where it says A down there, I want you to write something out beside it. All right? This is the best way that I know how to write it in English, okay? Elohim. Something like this in Hebrew. It's like that in Hebrew. But what does it mean, Elohim? In the book, what does it tell you that Elohim means? What does it mean? El means what? God. All right. What do the Muslims call God?
Allah.
Allah. It comes basically from the same thing here. El. El. It means God. Haya, in the middle of it, is a creator. Okay? And then at the end of that word is Im. Look at here. Elohim. Here it is. Elohim. That's the way you'd say it. It goes backwards in Hebrew, all right? Elohim. What we have here is the Creator God. And in Hebrew, there is singular. You know what singular is? One. Duel is what? Two. But it's plural. It's a duel plural. And then there is the Hebrew plural, which is im, and that means three or more. How many personalities are there in the Godhead?
Three.
How many personalities are there in you?
Three.
All right? Three and three. How many groups of angels are there?
Three.
How many heavens are there?
Three.
Do you see that everything was made in the likeness of God? Everything that you see. All right. God is spirit, is he?
Mm-hmm.
He is mind. And he is material in the person of Jesus Christ. All right? Man is... Brother, I can see you there. That's him. We can see Brother Alamon there. We can see Sister Andino, Luis. I can look at every one of you, and there you are. The material manifestation of you is like God the Son. Now, when you're thinking, when you're studying God's Word, what part of you is that? What?
We have the mind and the spirit, and the spirit pertains to God.
Okay, the spirit pertains, but right about mind. In the mind is the soul. The soul, all right? Now, there's in the mind is the soul. That's the part that goes be with God when you die. The soul, okay? In the soul is all your memory and all of your volition. What is volition?
Will.
Your will. Did God give you a will?
Mm-hmm.
Then make you a bunch of robots. I don't care what some people theologically say. You're not a robot. All right? Even the angels weren't robots. They had volition also, because we know that at least one-third of the angels and one-third of the spiritual realm went away from God, didn't they? They rebelled against God. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. Satan's path. See, you go back to the chart. Keep this thing. I've had people call me on the phone and ask me a Bible question, and a lot of times I refer you back to the chart and back to the doctrines of the Bible, because it's all pretty much in there. It all tells you about this. Well, we have body, material, and we have soul, and we have spirit. What does the spirit do in you? The spirit in Greek is pneuma, and Hebrew is ruah. All right, ruah. And it means breath. Okay, that's what it means, breath. A long time ago, they didn't know when people died, what was the test that they used to see if they were alive or dead. What did they do? They put a mirror, and if you go way back in the Egyptian times and the Hebrew times, they took a polished piece of brass or something, and they put it over their face. And if there was any frost on that, they knew they were still breathing, and they said, if there's breath in them, the spirit is still in them. The spirit hasn't left. How many of you ever been with somebody when they died? The spirit leaves. They don't breathe anymore. Now, the spirit isn't only breath, but the spirit is what makes the blood go. All right? In mankind, where is the life?
In the blood.
In the blood. Why? Because that heart pumps and it keeps your body going. This keeps your body going. It feeds your body. When you breathe, the breath, oxygen goes into the blood through your lungs, and it keeps you alive. When your heart quits beating and you quit breathing, you show signs that the spirit has left. All right. Now, I was asked a question here a week or so ago. The triuneness of man. All right? We can do this in a lot of different ways. Now, God is triune, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And man is triune because he's made in God's image. Now, you can draw a circle like this, and you can divide it into three pieces, and we can have mind and soul, okay? That's part of man. That's the part where you think. We can have spirit. That's life. That's what makes life in you. And then we have body, or material. Look at that. Now, When you're born into this world the first time, you're born into what? In Adam, we what? In Adam,
we all sin
and we all die. That first spirit that is put in you when you are born into this world is the spirit of death. All right? That's the spirit of death. Now, when you are born again, John, the third chapter, is a real good place to go there when you talk about being born again. The Hebrew people knew what being born again was. Nicodemus had taught the lesson on being born again many times, but he didn't understand the lesson. Jesus straightened him out on the lesson. Every Gentile that came to the Hebrew world, to the Hebrew religion, to Judaism, had to be born again. He had to confess his sins, he had to get up and make a profession of faith, and he had to be baptized and die to his old life and his old nationality, and he was raised anew. That's what they call being born again among the Hebrew people. And then Jesus told this man about being born again. When we're born the first time, we have a spirit in us that gives us life, but it also gives us a sentence of death. When we're born again, that spirit is X'd out, and God's spirit comes in us. That happened in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. What happened on the day of Pentecost was not the indwelling of the Spirit, so to speak, like this. This is a separate, different thing. What happened on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God came to the church there, and the church was indwelt by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
All right? And the church was led into all truth. That's why Baptist is still in existence today.
Amen.
All right? Spirit of God, come in, people, and that Spirit of God is what seals you to eternal life.
It's a new creation.
You are a brand new creation. You are sealed forever with eternal life from that point of time on. Think about that. That ought to be a hallelujah one right there.
Amen.
How many of you feel like you're saved every day? Anybody? We have times when we just feel so depressed and down and out, don't we? Don't you? I don't think there's one person in this world that's after being saved that didn't feel like they were unsaved sometime. But I'm going to tell you something. When God sends that spirit of life into your entity, your triuneness, you are sealed forever.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Forever. There is no way that the world, angels, demons, yourself, or anybody can take you away from God.
That's right.
I wanted to show you this lesson today because we're right here with the triuneness of man. Romans 8, 28 and 29. Or 38, 39. That was 37 through 39. All right, 8:37 through 39. Someone, go there for me. Romans 8:37 through 39. Who has got that? Somebody got Brother Andy.
But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that.
Hold on right there. But in all these things. We overwhelmingly conquer through Him. Through whom? Through Jesus. Who what?
Loved
us. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world, the cosmos. Not only, I'm going to tell you something. God not only loved mankind, but He loved His creation. That word is what there in Greek? How many of you know what it is? So loved the cosmos. That He gave His only begotten Son. Not only would He redeem mankind back, but He would redeem the whole creation back to Himself. All right? And He would do that by becoming man in the person of Jesus Christ, John 1:14. All right? How many can quote that in Greek? Kai, hologo, sarx, agenito. All right? And the Word, flesh, He became. The Jehovah, flesh, He became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten God. There He was, God had broke into space and time. Now, Brother Alamon, number 38. Number 38. Have you got that in English or Spanish?
In both.
All right, there we go.
For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor an angels nor rulers.
Okay, let's go on a little bit for death. Is there anything in death that can separate you from God?
No.
All right. Or what?
Or life.
Life? Is there anything you can do while you're alive that separates you from God?
No.
And what did he say? I am convinced. I am persuaded.
Amen.
Thoroughly persuaded. That neither death nor life or what?
Angels.
Angelos. All right. Moloch in Hebrew. Angelos in Greek. Angels. What are angels? What are they? They're supernatural beings. Big guys.
Mm-hmm.
Strong people. Strong, strong individuals. What can an angel do?
Kill thousands of people.
Kill thousands of people, what one angel can. Do you think an angel can take you away from God? Was there a fallen angel back here? Who was that fallen angel? What was his name?
Lucifer.
Can he take you out of the hand of God?
No. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Angels can't take you. Satan can't do it. Let's look and see what it says. Angels are what?
Rulers.
Wait a minute.
Demons.
Let's look at that word.
In my verse, it means it's demons.
Demons, huh? R-R-K. R-K. You know what that means? R-K? Have you ever heard of an archangel?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Not a basic angel, nor an archangel. Now, that was... We have three groups of archangels in the Bible, don't we? Huh? How many? Who are they? Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Is Lucifer a? Is he an archangel? He was an archangel, wasn't he? How about Michael? He's specified as an archangel, isn't he? Now, can any of these archangels? Can any archangel separate you from God? This ought to be real good today, people. You ought to like this lesson. All right. Nor, what does it say else, Brother Alamon there?
Nor things present.
Nor things present. All right, now think about this. Things present. What does that mean? The present tense. Are you alive in the world right now? Is this present tense? Is there anything in the present tense that can separate you from God? Isn't that beautiful? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Nothing in the present can separate you from God. All right. Now, what else does it say there? What's the next one there? Brother Alamon, you're taking an awful lot of notes. You learning something there?
Nor things to come.
Nor things to come. Let's think about this now. Now, any created thing to come, anything to come. I thank God that He's going to take His people out before the tribulation period. But God's going to have some people in the tribulation period too. He's going to have Israel in the tribulation period, and there's going to be a lot of people saved during the tribulation period. You know what? Those powers that are in existence right there, once God has marked them, they cannot touch them.
Amen.
Nor things to come. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
Now look at the last one. What's the last one say?
Nor powers.
Nor dynamis is what the word is. Dynamios. All right. What is dynamios? That's where we get our word dynamite from. Dynamite. We have powers. What causes storms and things that according to the Bible, from what we understand? Go to the book of Job. What caused the storms and things that took Job's family?
The devil.
Evil spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Evil powers. Okay? Evil powers and evil spirits. That's what took Job's family's life, was evil powers. All right? Go back to Job, the first chapter. That'll tell you all about that. All right. Now let's go on a little bit further with this. Number 39. Brother Wally, you got that there?
Nor height.
Oh, hold on right there. Let's don't go any further than that. Nor heaps omah. Height. When we think about height, what do we think about?
Heaven.
Huh?
Heaven.
Heaven. Is there anything in heaven that's going to be able to take you away from God's hand? Who's in heaven, by the way? God. Is there anything in heaven going to take you away from God's hand?
No.
No. Heights. And then we have another correlative, nor again. Nor what?
Yeah.
Bathos.
Bathos?
Mm-hmm. Depths. Bathos. When we think about depths, what do we think about? Huh? We think about the ocean sometimes. All right, ocean, but what else?
Well, there's such a thing as hell.
That's right. Lost my pen. Going around here in circles. You know what ambitious means? Huh? How many of you know what ambitious means? I'll give you a little etymology here. It means abounding and going around in circles. Somebody's in bad wishes. They go around in circles. That's what I was doing here looking for. All right. Here's the earth. Everything above height is heaven, isn't it? Or heavens, plural. And then we have bathos. All right. Bathos. Let's see that way. Down here, bathos is the depths. Hell. Is there anything down there in hell going to separate you from God? Able to? Powerful enough? What's the answer? No. So let's go on a little further now, Brother Wally.
Okay. Nor any other creation.
All right. Any other creation. Any other created thing. This ought to be real. Real good lesson today.
Mm-hmm.
This ought to make your spirit soar when you walk out of here. Because you know that you're saved forever.
Amen.
I remember Brother Bill and Joanne when they came to my class. They've been in my class about 6 years. When Brother Bill came in here, he didn't go into a church that taught Armenian doctrine. It meant you could be saved one day and lost the next. And it had been a couple of 3 years. Bill said, you know what? I never knew I was saved before right now. I always went to church for 30-something years and never knew I was saved. Didn't have any security of salvation at all. So I come and started listening to God's Word. God's Word ought to tell you that you have a security in Christ. How many of you like to stand on quicksand? Huh? Anybody like to? How many of you ever been in quicksand? How many of you ever been in a bog?
My horse fell in.
Horse fell in quicksand. I'll tell you what, the more you thrash around in quicksand, what happens? The faster you go down.
Yeah.
A lot of the people out in the religious world, they got people caught in quicksand all the time. They don't know whether they're going to come or go or whether they're going to make it to heaven or not. God's Word tells you that there's no created thing that could ever separate you from God. What are created things?
Well,
we're a creation.
Angels.
Spirits. Angelos, Moloch, spirits. Numa, Ruah. And I told you that there's a difference between angels and spirits. Angels take form. They look like man, usually. Sometimes they even have wings. All right, like the angels you see on little things and whatever, statues. But most of the time in the Bible, angels look like man, don't they? What about spirits? What do spirits do? Ruach. What do these spirits do? Numa. They seek to inhabit human or animal flesh. And I think that they can even inhabit inanimate objects. Inanimate objects. What is an inanimate object? Huh?
Rocks.
Stone. Have you ever heard of people someplace in the world going down and giving their life for a stone object?
Mm-hmm.
Going in and praying to a stone object, to a statue, to a Buddha, to a cross, to something. You think that that doesn't have power? They have power. Those things have power. It is drawing power, but it's not the wood, it's not the stone, it's not the jewels or whatever. I heard a story about a crystal skull. How many of you ever heard about a crystal skull? Marilyn, you heard about it. Have you heard about the crystal skull? You never heard about the crystal skull? Huh?
Not really.
Oh, all right. There's the crystal skull that they found, and Hitler wanted a hold of that crystal skull because he thought it had tremendous power in it. It told the future and things. How many of you watched the Ark, the Raiders of the Lost Ark? All right. Now, in that movie, they had Hitler trying to get the Ark of the Covenant. Well, he really went after the crystal skull. There's a few books written about that and everything else because he wanted to be able to see the future and he thought there was great power in it. Now, if people think there is power in something, is there power in it? It's a pretty good idea that it could be. All right? That's a created thing, but there we have an inanimate object that becomes powerful. All right? Let's just go on a little bit further. Brother Wallace, a created thing or what?
Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
All right, but let's go back to creature and then what? Our other.
As a creature.
Our other powerful other being.
Creation shall be able to separate us.
Yeah. All right. We'll be able to, we'll be powerful enough to separate us from the grace of God, of the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right. The word Kyrios there, Lord, that means Jehovah. That's who it is. What does the word Jehovah mean? What does the word Jehovah mean? He who shall become. That's what it means. And he was the one. Jehovah, Jesus, is the one that became. So now we have studied God, and we studied the nature of God, and we studied the nature of man, and we studied the power of God in the act of salvation. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
All right. We studied God, angels, angelos, and malach. God is Elohim. In the New Testament, it is theos. All right. We got our word theology. I'll turn around circles again. All right. Theos. We got our word. It's theos like that in English. And we got our word theology right out of that. And theology means the study of God. All right. The study of God. Now we have creation. It says, Barashit bara in Hebrew. In beginnings. In one of the beginnings. Created God. The word is beginnings there is plural, not singular. Okay? In beginnings. In one of the beginnings. Created bara. He created. Now the creation. Look at that word creation. That number C there. See that? Six and number C. That should be creation. What is the creation? God, angels, mankind, spirits, so on and so forth. Now, on page, what page are we on the next page there, Tony? Have you got that there? That's number five, okay. See, mine is a little different than that, all right? Five. Now, let's look and see what we have here. The study of God. What was the purpose of the plagues in Egypt? All right. Now, Egypt. Mitzrayim. That's the Hebrew. Egypt. What?
Show the world that God was God.
To show the world, to make known to Pharaoh and to the world that God is the creator, the real creator. Brother Lee already took off. He had to go back. I was going to have him share something with you. All the world has an Elohim. All the world has a creator. I don't care. Even evolutionists have a creator. They think it's the goo out there that became something, okay? All the world has a creator, but only the redeemed world has a Jehovah. They have a redeemer, okay? The world in the nation of Egypt was a type of what?
the world, the lost world. All right, the world separated from God. Egypt is a type of the lost world. Okay? Now, God is going to tell the lost world, the Egyptians, that He exists and He is the Almighty God. Okay? The Almighty God. Jehovah Sabaoth. All right? Jehovah Sabaoth. Write that down there somewhere. Jehovah Sabaoth. Jehovah means He who shall become, and it is the title of Jesus. Jesus is that title, Messiah, the HaMashiach in Hebrew. He is the Messiah, Christos in Greek, and Christos in Spanish. Same thing, Jesus mm-hmm. Christos. All right?
That have Sabaoth.
What?
That have Sabaoth.
Yeah.
That's a German.
Yeah. The Creator. God wanted the world to know that He is more powerful than any of their made-up gods. That's the whole story about Egypt. Have you ever looked what happened back here and what's going to happen right here? These two places? The plagues in the tribulation period are so similar to the plagues in Egypt. Think about that.
And they're directed against the gods.
That's right. The plagues in the tribulation period are directed against the godless, the God-haters that lined up behind the devil. Who's going to be on the throne in the world directly for a short while is going to be worshipped? The Antichrist. And he's the embodiment of who? Of Satan. He's Satan in flesh. All right, that's what the Antichrist is. Now, for a time, Satan's going to be worshipped. People, humans, are going to worship him. But there's going to be those that won't worship him. All right? During this period of time. Now, the old Antichrist, there's a story about him in the Old Testament. Pharaoh is a type of the Antichrist in the New Testament. He's the type of the devil, Satan. We see Lucifer. Lucifer is what? Means light carrier. He became known as Diabolos. Diabolos in Spanish is what?
Diablo.
Diablo. All right. What does it mean?
Devil.
But in Greek it means destroyer. He destroyed the creation. He played havoc with the creation originally. The creation that God created in eternity past, He played havoc with that creation, and then God reconstructed that creation. Diabolos. Now, how about Abaddon? You heard that term?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's a god of the bottomless pit. You know, German. The angel.
Typhon.
What?
Typhon.
Yeah. All right. Tophet. Probably is where that came from. That means the bottomless pit. The under region, the hell region. Now, Pharaoh is a type of the Antichrist to come. Right here. All the things that happen to Pharaoh in Egypt are so similar to what's going to happen to the Antichrist, because Pharaoh was a type of the kingdom of the Antichrist on the earth. And what were they doing to God's people back then? What was Pharaoh doing to God's people?
They
were enslaved. Does the world enslave God's people today?
Mm-hmm. They're trying to.
Doing a pretty good job of it, isn't it? You got to live here for a while, don't you? Just remember, it's just for a short space. All right. B. A was to represent Pharaoh as a type of the world, okay? So that we can understand that some will not come to God no matter what measures are taken. Will Satan ever be redeemed?
No.
He's unredeemable, isn't he? He's anathema. B. To exhibit God's power and justice to all nations. All right. God's power and justice. We don't get much justice in this world. We just don't do it. But I guarantee you what, when we come into the presence of God, it's going to be pure justice. There won't be any lies. There won't be any perjury there in that court.
see.
Why did we see these plagues of Egypt? See, to execute judgment upon the Egyptians for their cruelty to the Israelites. And why is God going to execute judgment upon the nations here? Because the way they had treated Israel and God. We see it. All right. D. To punish the Egyptians for their polytheism and idolatry. And to show God's supreme power over demons and angels and any created thing or religion. Is there power in religions? One of the psychologists says religion is the opiate of the masses. Are people controlled by religion?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Are God's people controlled by their binding love to God? We should be in the right way. You know, every time that God does anything, Satan mimics it. Doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord Jesus Christ called out His church and established it, and the Satan made hundreds of them. The Lord called one out and made one church, one ecclesia, and Satan has improvised in so many ways. Tonight, I'm going to be teaching about church history. I'm going to tell you something. We didn't need the Protestant Reformation. We already had truth out there.
Amen.
We didn't need Luther and Calvin. They wouldn't come to the truth. They set what we call the Protestant Reformation, but the truth was already there. We had Catholicism and we had the truth.
Amen.
Luther, they call him the father of the Reformation. But if you study history, you'll see that he is the father of the Holocaust. And I mean that. That's a historical fact. The father of the Holocaust. What is that? What is the father of the Holocaust? With his replacement theology, what did he want to do to all the Jewish people? What did Luther call for?
Extermination.
Extermination of the Jews. What did Hitler do? Luther called for the incarceration and the extermination of all the Jewish people. Hitler tried to carry it out. But they still, in both of these people, we see this in the tribulation period and in Egypt, God protects His people. What can separate you from God? If Hitler could have destroyed, if Luther, if Calvin could have destroyed Israel, the nation Israel, they could have thwarted the promises of God.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have destroyed the economy of God's plan.
And His plan. And they're still trying.
And they're still trying it. Look on there. All right, number two here. I hope you're learning a little bit. Am I foundering you?
You know, when you think, though, that Luther gave the Germans the Bible in their own language, you have to mark one for him there.
Well, he did. But why did he do it? The Catholic Church, he came out of the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church only, the Catholics didn't have the Bible, did they? He gave them the Bible, the same thing, reasons why King James gave them the Bible. To keep them, to bring them to his side so he'd have a stronghold. And how was he going to keep the Lutherans? The Lutheran became a state church, didn't it?
Yeah.
All right. To control the masses. All right.
But for some reason, people did get the Word of God, and a lot of people were saved.
That's right.
That.
People were saved in spite of it. All right, number two. According to the Old Testament and the Bible in Age Ages, the plagues began in the month of what? January. All right? And the Hebrews left Egypt during the first part of April. All right? And how much part of the year is that? January, February, March, April. If you divide 12 into 4, you have 1/3 of a year. All right? 1/3 of a year. Just think about 1/3, too. What? The angelic and the angelic and the spiritual forces, how many of them rebelled against God?
One-third. And they're playing their little games for one-third of the year here in Egypt, a type of the world again. All right. Let's go on a little bit further.
Brother Philip, you've got the same month of Nisan?
Yes. It's the January through April, all right? Now, number three. Are you writing this stuff down and you got your little notes there? Is this too much schoolwork for you? Am I boring you? I'm trying to give you something new every time you come in here, okay?
Amen.
All right. Name and give scripture references, briefly describe each of the 10 plagues brought upon Egypt. And the 10 plagues... I got to turn that one over. The rest of the world's got to hear this. See, it starts here. Going on out there. The 10 plagues in Egypt. Now I got to figure out where I was. I got sidetracked with that thing. Give scripture references and briefly describe the 10 plagues brought upon Egypt. That which took place here also takes place over here. I want you to correspond the Egyptian bondage and God's contest here with what happened here. All right. What is the first miracle that who performed this miracle, by the way?
Aaron.
Who? Aaron. Did Moses do any miracles over there at all? I know that Cecil B. DeMille has it backwards. That's the Ten Commandments. You know, that's a beautiful movie and everything else, but Moses didn't do these miracles. Moses told Aaron what to do. Aaron did the miracles. Whose rod did they have? Was it Moses' rod or whose rod?
Aaron's
rod. Okay, get that straight. We got to take the Bible over Cecil B. DeMille, all right? This is the way it is. What was the first miracle that they performed? Exodus 7, 14 through 25. What's it say there? Huh? They turned water into blood. Turned water into blood. In chemistry, can you make water turn red? Can chemists turn water red? That's a simple thing to do today. You can go in your kitchen. How many of you women cook in the kitchen? All right, some of you anyway. How many of you men cook in the kitchen? You know, the Bible says the ways of a man's heart is through his what? Not the Bible, but man. Tradition says, not the Bible. But tradition says the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. That's the same thing that happens to women sometimes, too. I remember the first time Marilyn ever came out to my house. I like to cook. And she'd never had anybody cook for her, and she wanted to come out. And I said, why don't you come out and we'll have a sandwich or something. When I got there, what'd I do? I cooked a Chinese dinner.
You had a gourmet meal.
Well, in that gourmet meal, I used some food coloring. All right? And I had some lemon chicken, didn't I?
Yeah,
all right, with pineapple and stuff. I made some lemon chicken. How many of you ever had lemon chicken? All right, you know what lemon chicken is. To make that sauce, you have to use food coloring. And there's food coloring. There's all kinds of food coloring. You know, there you can mix colors together and make it different color. But in that food coloring, there is yellow. And it'll say so-and-so yellow, all right? You put a few drops of that in there, and it turns the sauce into a yellow color. And if you want it turned red, you use the red food color, all right? Well, probably the Egyptians used food coloring, but Aaron used the power of God. There's a whole lot of difference between something that you can chemically do and what the power of God does. Every time that Aaron performed a miracle by the power of God, God did it. But what did Satan do? He mimicked God. Now, Aaron turned the water into blood. All over the place. It was turned red. It was turned into blood. Did the Egyptian magicians do the same thing? Yeah, they did. Whatever they did, whether they put food color in that water or whatever they did it. Could they undo the power of God?
No.
Didn't do it. All right. The Nile River and all of its feeders and all the springs turned into blood. All right. Turned into blood. Yes.
I couldn't hear you.
What was the scripture?
Oh, the scripture references is Exodus 7, 14 through 25. By the way, what does the word Exodus mean? The way out, the road out. It comes from a Greek word, ekenhodos. Matter of fact, the Old Testament was translated in Alexander the Great's time into Greek. And all of the names in the Old Testament, basically, that we have in the English Bible, came from Greek, not Hebrew. All right? And that word is Exodus, exhodos. Comes from the way out. The word exit up there, that comes from that same thing. The way, exit means the way out. It means out of it. Okay? B. You got B down there? What do you have there in front of B? Nava? All right, put down there frogs. Frogs. Exodus 8, 1 through 15. Now, we could go through every one of these. We could go through every one of these scripture references and we could study these deeply. Frogs. Frogs came from the Nile and they covered the land. How many of you ever had frog legs? Well, these aren't the kind that you, the frog legs. These aren't frog leg frogs. These are toads. They are stinking toads. This isn't food. Now, if they'd had these things, they could have eaten bullfrogs, but these aren't bullfrogs. These are toads. Toads. Stinking toads. How many of you have got a dog or a cat? Have you ever had your dog or cat get out there in your yard and catch a toad?
Yeah, old Chippy, when he grabs them, he just throws them, but he don't want to get too close to them.
Why?
Because they stink and they're bitter.
They have poison on them. They have toxins on them. Toxins. Their mouth will foam if they get a hold of them. They'll get sick. They'll vomit. All that. That's the toads that were here. Toads, not frogs. Toads. Well, we're going to quit right there. And we're going to talk more about the toads later. What is the date? Is this the 8th? What?
10th?
All right. Did you enjoy your class today? Oh, Brother Mike.
Are you going to